Sure enjoyed the choir song. That was beautiful. And the congregation hymns, too. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 20? And I want to talk to you today about doubt. Not that necessarily you're struggling with any of it, but I think there's a good probability that we all do struggle with doubt from time to time. Godly people can doubt. But I want you to know it's a sin, and I want you to know, too, that it grieves God. I think doubt grieves God probably more than anything else. If you're, as a parent, if your child come to you and say, you know, Mom or Dad, I just don't think you're going to be able to take care of me. I know you want to, I know you love me, but I just don't think you're going to be able to do it. Or they say, you know, I really want to, Mom and Dad, but I just can't believe anything you say. I really can't trust you. Wouldn't that break your heart? It really would. And just magnify that by 1,000 times and think about God who created us and who died for us on the cross, who saved us, and then we have a tendency to doubt him. And these doubts come in different sizes and shapes and intensities. They do. And really, to doubt doesn't mean you don't have faith. It doesn't mean you haven't battled faith. I believe that doubt is a spiritual warfare. And we need to get to grips with spiritual warfare in our lives. The devil is real, and he has many demons in this world, and he has many vices and ways to thwart the gospel and hinder God's people, make them think they're not useful. He destroys our joy and our peace. He's good at it. He loves to do it. He's the thief, and that's what doubt does. It steals the very blessedness of our days in Christ. He can't take our salvation away. He has nothing to do with that. But nevertheless, may the Lord bless us to be believers. That's what we're called, believers. But I wonder sometime if doubters might be a better word for it at times, especially when we have to face trials and struggles. And maybe, you know, maybe as I talk to you this morning, I know I'm licking my own wound some, but, you know, sometimes you have situations come up in your life and you say, well, you know, wonder. You ever have those kind of feelings? Maybe not, but you could sometimes. But we got to realize that the gospel of Jesus Christ is really not about circumstances. It's about us. Circumstances have absolutely nothing to do with it. What has to do with it is who Jesus Christ is, what he did for us. Is he who he says he is, and is he doing what he says he's doing even now? That makes all the difference. It's where we find our peace. I wanted to use these scriptures from John chapter 20. This is a powerful part of scripture, as you know. It's after the resurrection. Now, I'm going to read you an episode in scripture that happened, as I understand from the commentaries that I studied, that about a week after the resurrection, so time-wise, I know we just celebrating it here in our country last Sunday, the resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, but maybe a week after this is what when this happened. So I thought it's very timely. Timing is also an important part of doubting, because when we have to wait for something, we're going to either doubt or we can brace for grace. Brace for grace. And that's what you have to do when you have to wait. But waiting is a good thing, because if something's not worth waiting for, it's not worth a whole lot. But we do have to wait. God keeps us in that mode a lot. It's more than we like it. Well, I want to read these verses. I know you see them in your bulletin. That's exactly the ones I'm going to try to read from John chapter 20, beginning at verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now, that's an eye-opener there. I think that's why most of us doubt more than we should. We just are not there. We We have not been obedient. The more obedient we have, the less doubt we'll have. And I appreciate your prayers. I had eye surgery a couple Fridays ago down at Counter Hospital. I never had been exposed to that situation, but had a torn retina, and they did surgery. After the surgery, the doctor gave me a protocol. He said, "Now, you can't go scuba diving." They put a gas bubble in my eyes. He says, "You can't go scuba diving. You can't go in an airplane, or you can't go to any mountains over 3,000 feet. You understand that?" I said, "Yeah, I do. I understand that." He did add to that, I had to lay for 45 minutes out of every hour for a week. I did not do that. But here's my point. I wanted to say that because I believe in my eyes getting so much, that bubble's dropping. Some of you have had this, and we just talked with a couple of that thing's dropping. I can see out of my eye. I mean, that's two fingers. I couldn't see that last week. But he said it'd be about 3 weeks. But here's my point in saying that. I do not doubt that his surgery, God blessed him to do in my eyes, is going to be successful. I don't doubt that. But now, had I went in an airplane, or had I went scuba diving, I might could doubt him. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying, so God has given us an agenda of life, okay? And so we might not like it, but I'm going to tell you what. The reason we have doubts is we don't do what God says do. Now, that's pure and simple. Now Thomas just didn't show up. Now, God says that in his word, he says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves as a matter of some." So going to church, assembly, when you can physically do it, and a lot of people can't. But there's a lot of people just don't give a rip about it. And most of the time when you don't go to church, if you're a Christian, you're just flat out of fellowship with God. That's all it is. And so the remedy is the same. I mean, you go back to God. You go back to Christ. So here's Thomas. Now, he's a saved man. He is one of the apostles. But he wasn't there when Jesus came after resurrecting the first time. And we're going to talk about why in just a minute. But let's go ahead and read this text. It says, "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord." You see what he missed? "But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I won't believe." He said, "I'm not going to do it." Now, here's the thing I would say. This man, Thomas, has already seen Lazarus risen from the dead. This man, Thomas, has already heard Jesus say that I'm going to rise from the dead. He's heard all that. But here's the deal. He's so caught up in the grief of his death, of Jesus' death, he's not going to see it any other way. He's going to doubt it. Jesus didn't quit on him, though. It's just like a good shepherd that our Lord is. That one sheep that strays away, he's going to go find him. Verse 26, "And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them." 8 days later. "And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas." Now, notice, here's warning to you. Jesus already knows what Thomas has said, though he wasn't there. Do you understand that he knows everything we say and even think? I mean, that kind of scares me sometimes. But he does. That's the omniscience of God. That's what it's called. Okay? So Jesus says to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Now, it's important that you believe in Jesus Christ. Because if you don't believe, you're not going to be saved. You understand that? If you don't believe, your sins are still on you. If you believe not, you're condemned already. That's what the Scripture says. So it's really important that you and I believe Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about predestination. I'm talking about election. I'm talking about believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. Now, do you believe that? Or do you doubt it? I can tell you what the devil wants to do. He wants you to doubt it. Well, you know, preacher, if I believe that, why do I still have these sinful desires? Because you still have flesh, that's why. But I'm going to tell you what, you don't have to succumb to them. You got to believe that Jesus not only died, but he rose again. He gained victory over the devil. There, his victory is given that to us. He said, go ahead, Thomas, put your hand there. Gosh, his side, the wounds. Can you imagine? I never thought about this before until I was reading this the other day, that Jesus said to him, thrust into my side. Must have been a big gaping wound that had healed the Lord Jesus. I don't think we realize the horrific pain and agony that Jesus went through for us. And Thomas answered and said unto him, now here's a mighty translation. Here is what grace does. It makes a doubter into a worshiper. And that's what God can do for you and me. Notice what he says. Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. Do you know, I believe that some of the translators, and I tried to find it in myself, that's the only place in Scripture where Jesus is called God. And yet we know that he's Emmanuel, God with us. But that's what grace does. It revealed to Thomas. Now, I don't know if he just grieved the Holy Spirit before, Thomas, that is, or if he didn't have the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you what, he's got it now, because the Bible says, you do not know Jesus Christ unless you have the Holy Spirit. So I want to tell you right now this morning from God's Word that when you reveal to you and you believe that Jesus Christ is God, that he is the Son of God, human and God, that he died on the cross, that he rose again, then that has been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit of God. Do you know what, my friends? You need nothing else in this life. You have the greatest entity that you could ever have. You are a spiritual, eternal being. You'll live forever in heaven. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to have struggles in this life, because you are, but do not doubt. Without a doubt. No doubt about it, is what I said. No doubt about it. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Notice the order there. Thomas, you seen me. Thou hast believed. David said in the Psalms, he says he believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He didn't say, David didn't. He didn't say, I see to believe. He said, I believe to see. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and listen, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Don't take the believing in Jesus Christ for granted. I have learned in the last couple of weeks, do not take your eyesight for granted. Never do that, okay? In a much greater way, do not take your spiritual faith, your vision of God, your belief in him for granted. It comes from God. He's given that to you. Do not doubt any longer. You're just wasting your life when you do. Okay, I want to try to say three things regarding this. Three points. One is, I want us to think about the disposition of doubting. Thomas, you know, disposition, what I mean about mood, your nature. There are some people that just, they just doubt by nature. I mean, their glass is always half empty, never half full, okay? I mean, they doubt everything. I mean, it's just nature. It's a temperament, so to speak. They're just doubters. Well, that's how Thomas was. And the reason I wanted to point that out was he didn't show up, but he's doubting. But we find in John's gospel, I think it's 11th chapter, Jesus is telling him that he's going and to in Jerusalem, and Thomas just comes up there and says, "I'll just go with you and we'll die together." That's what he was saying. And then in the 14th chapter of John, Thomas is, he's this doubting disposition. That's his disposition. Jesus says, you remember he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." I mean, doubt troubles our heart. Jesus said, "Don't let your heart be troubled." He says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." He's going to the cross. And he says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." And that's what Jesus says immediately after in John 14. Thomas, this very Thomas, says, "Lord, we don't know the way. How do you say the way? We don't know the way." I mean, he's doubting. And so now he's doubting. Don't be a doubter. You know, repent. I mean, repentance is required for doubting. Lord, don't let me doubt anymore. I mean, people don't like doubters. I mean, it brings everybody down. It drains you. It's contagious. I wonder, Peter was walking on the water. You remember that? And then he saw the waves. You know, he wanted to come to Jesus in the storm, and Jesus said, "Come on," and he walks in the waves, and he sees the waves, he starts sinking, and Jesus grabs his hand and says, "Peter, why did you doubt?" You see, what happens in our doubts, when we got this, particularly that dispositional part of our lives, we have a tendency to see our problems, and we don't see Jesus. I remember, and I know I'm just being wimpy about this, but I had this little surgery the other day down at Candler, and I'm laying there in that bed, getting ready to go to the anesthesia area, operating area, whatever it is. And I am being blessed. I never had much surgery before in my life. I'm just laying there, you know, and just waiting. And I know it's not a big deal, but you know, when they're you doing the surgery on you, it's still major. And I look up on the wall of their Candler St. Joseph, and there's a cross with Jesus, an emblem of Jesus on the cross, just hanging right over my bed. You've seen that over there, some of you, haven't you? Hey, what does that do? It brought comfort to me. I mean, that's what Jesus is saying. You got to see the crucifixion of Christ. That's where your comfort's going to be. It's not going to be looking at your problems. I mean, your problems are the one thing that lets us know that we're real. I mean, God's never promised us that we're not going to suffer. But I guarantee you that, there's no doubt about it. When God brings something to you, He's going to bring you through it because He died for you on the cross. And one thing about it I want to say to you as loud as I can today and as much hard as this, Jesus Christ loves you. There's no doubt about it because He died for you on the cross. You say, "Well, why is this happening to me?" He loves you. See, the thing about that in our faith is it's on facts. It's not about feelings. We get our feelings all messed up, you know. I mean, you can't go by your feelings. You can't even go by your faith. You go by the facts. That's what we go by, and that's what Christ is. This is a book of facts. Jesus Christ says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Believe Him. Secondly, I want to say directions. Sometimes we have a problem following directions. I think that was one of Thomas's problems. Obviously it was. I think it's my problem sometimes. I don't like to follow directions sometimes. You know, we have our own tendency to think we can do things our own way. But it'd be much better to just follow God's directions. He does give us directions. He does. For example, he tells us where to find peace when we can't feel it. Now, I know we wonder about that in this episode, but notice the first thing that Jesus says to Thomas and to the disciples when he comes is, "Peace be unto you." How many times your doubts and fears keep you awake at night? We have to focus on God to get peace. I want you to look with me just quickly at Philippians chapter 4, I believe it is. I just want to read quickly a verse that's familiar to you. Verse 6 and 7. Here's some clear directions to remove all doubts. No doubt about it. Be careful for nothing. That's what God says. What does that mean? It means don't worry about something to the point that it overwhelms you. See, Thomas was so concerned about the death of Christ, he couldn't enjoy his resurrection. There are people, you know, we lose things or we have to hurt and we have pain in our life or sickness and we get setbacks and we get so overwhelmed by it that we forget that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that we are, in fact, believers and have eternal life. It makes no difference in the world, the way we act anyway, that's what he's done for us. We'd rather quibble around on our own pity parties. But he says this, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about nothing. Don't doubt anything that God tells us just because it's not happening. Hey, let me say this. Whatever's going on in your life and mine right now, it might not be we can see any good in it, but you got to give it time. See, God says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Now, have you given time to let the good come out? I mean, it's coming. I mean, you got to let it go, though, okay? You got to trust God with everything, even your pain and your problems. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. That is, you know how you fight doubts? I told you the spiritual warfare, you pray. You don't pray because you feel like praying. You pray because it's the thing to do, because you're talking to God. Because prayer reinforces the very fact that you don't doubt because you don't pray to somebody you don't believe in, do you? No, you don't. So you pray and supplicate. You pray in as a worshipful sense, you thank God, but you supplicate, you cry out to Him. Where He's hurt, you tell God about it. And you thank Him too. Don't forget that part. We have a lot to thank God for. And it do us all good and remove a lot of doubts if we thanked Him more than we do. I say to you, take some time today to thank God. You don't have to wait. You can do it right now in your mind. Thank Him. I know you don't have to look far. I don't. We have so much to be thankful for. Request be known to God. Now here's the results of that. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, one more thing I wanted to say. We think about Thomas, we think about doubts, and I wanted to say, no doubt about it. I mean, the cross of Christ proves with all doubt that Jesus Christ loves us, that He has forgiven us. And that, you know what, He's not going to leave us hanging. He's not. He saved us, and His blood is that precious. And you know what, we can rejoice in that. And I know probably nobody here doubts that you're going to heaven if you trust in Christ, that your sins are forgiven. But see, it's in between stuff. See, sometimes in this Bible, it's in between the verses, the white spaces. And that's how it is in life. Well, what do you think about when you're washing dishes or thinking about your children or your work, going about your life? You know, I mean, how do you feel about it? Are you settled in it? Are you sure that Christ is directing your life? He's leading you in your life, that he has a purpose and you have a purpose? Well, you ought to. Because if you didn't have a purpose, you would not be here today or anywhere else. So we just need to go ahead and quit doubting, you know. We doubt our usefulness, doubt our abilities. What we got to do is say, God, you just use me in whatever way you will. Submission is the key. It takes away a lot of doubts, too. And then we did directions, but also, I want you to look at the difference, and I won't stay there but a second. I already mentioned this. Man, look at what grace does. Thomas is doubting Jesus Christ being the risen Savior. And when he sees him, he worships him. My Lord and my God. He did not have to touch him. He just believed from his heart. And he worshiped and praised God. And that's how we need to say it. My Lord and my God. When the devil starts trying to get us to doubt, you say, Jesus died for me. He is my Lord and my Savior. Makes a difference. Gosh, there's so many other differences in grace makes in people. You think about the thief on the cross. Here's a man that's cursing Jesus in one moment, and when grace comes in the next thing, that man's in heaven. How did he get there? Because Christ said he was going there. You see the overpowering of the Word of God? We serve an almighty Savior. I mean, he conquered death. And Peter, you know, the very one that denied him, you're talking about doubting. See, doubt leads to sin. See? And by the way, you know, you and I can sin when not actually committing the sin. We can just think about it. That's sin too. So Peter denies him and ends up doubts him and ends up denying him. But you know what Jesus says? Who did Jesus say feed my sheep to? Peter, the one that denied him. That's what grace does. I'm going to tell you there's no sin greater than God's grace. You just go ahead and confess that sin to Christ. You believe that he died for your sin. And I'm going to tell you, my friend, you are white as snow. God has blessed your heart with his goodness and mercy. He's made you accepted in the beloved through the blood of Christ. You know, just as a side note, did you know when you and I get to heaven, we're going to be able to identify each other? How many of you have loved ones in heaven? You're going to see them. You're going to see them. Now, I don't understand it all, but that transformed body, I mean, this scripture testifies that Christ has risen from the dead, and there's other scriptures that testify to it, that we'll have a body. I'll see my son in heaven. I know I will. And you will. And each other. Oh, that's a glory. That's a power of what God has given us to look forward to. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for dying for us on the cross. We pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord. We pray that we'd have patience with those that haven't acknowledged you as Lord and Savior, just like you did with Thomas, that we'll love them more and love the world less. We thank you, Lord, for this time you've given us. Help us not to ever doubt you anymore. And when that comes upon us, Lord, help us to shake it off like Paul did the viper on the island of Melita, so that others will see the glory of God and that we can shine the light that you've given us without the darkness and the dullness that that doubts concur. Thank you, Lord, for this congregation of believers. I believe they're believers and not doubters. Help us, Lord, to spread the gospel so that others would believe as you open their hearts to your goodness and the reality of salvation by grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.